Welcome into the Nebraska Basketball Show. Have a very special episode for you as we're talking Nebraska hoops. No better time to talk Nebraska hoops as well, as the Huskers remain unbeaten going into Bloomington, getting a huge win over Indiana as they move up the AP poll as well. Eighth in the country, matching the best and highest AP ranking in program history. With that, we welcome you inside, Kyle Crooks, and we have a special guest, General Manager of Husker Hoops, Luca Virgilio. Am I saying that correctly? Last name? I wanted to get the Italian twist to it, though. Virgilio? Does that sound better to you?
No, it's good. Virgilio.
Okay. Yeah, you don't want me to try too hard on the Italian.
No, that's good.
There.
I like it.
I'm like
I
half
like
Italian, so I figured I'd make it work for me. Luca, this team continues to do what it does, and that's be successful, win games. Big reason why is, and we'll get into your role and what you do, but the players that and the team that you've helped assemble here, you know, how was the road trip to Bloomington? It just seems like this team continues to find a way.
Yeah, it was a fun trip, I'll tell you that much. That pizza after the game tasted really good.
What kind of pizza did we have after the game?
I think it was just a regular pepperoni. But
pepperoni from Indiana, though. I don't know if it's like Italy.
It's okay. It tasted good, man. Okay. I'll tell you that. It was a fun trip. I love Bloomington. It's always fun to go there. It's a nice college town. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of excitement the night before the game because, of course, football. But it was a great game. I think our guys played with a lot of character and poise in the second half. You know, when you are in the position that we are right now and you're down 16 in the second half, you can feel maybe that the game is just going to go away and you're not going to be able to get it back. But they found a way. They fought, they kept their composure, and they executed the game plan offensively and defensively. So a lot of credit to our players and staff for getting that win.
It's unique nowadays, and you deal with the transfer portal and having a veteran team, a team that's connected. It's not a guarantee nowadays because you have guys that come in, leave a program, and, you know, Jamarcus Lawrence's case, he leaves the program, comes back a mature, better player than he left. But when you look at how unique, almost a unicorn-like team that we see in Nebraska with guys that have helped build a foundation, have stuck around, an older guy like Rick Mass who comes back from injury almost better. When you look at this team, it's very rare, isn't it, now in the transfer portal era, what you got out of this team?
Yes, it is. But I think that was the main priority for us last offseason. It was retention. Mm-hmm. That's a key word for us, keeping the guys that – we want to keep here in Lincoln to play for us. And, you know, bringing back Jamarcus was a huge plus for us because he's a guy that knows our system. He played in it for 2 years. He left, comes back, and he had probably his best game of his career at Indiana, career high in points. But just the way he controlled the game was extremely impressive. And then, of course, you bring him back, Rink Mass, that didn't play last year, but has been in our program for 3 years. And all these things really matters in this day and age. I think we have the second highest retention minutes in the Big Ten, which that's why we're having a good season so far. Having Sam, of course, it's big time because he's been in our program for a long time, you know. And Berke has been in our program for 2 years. Connor has been in our program for 2 years. Kale Jacobson has been in our program for a long time. And there is a familiarity between them and between the players and the staff. And that really helps you, especially at the beginning, because you're not trying to build something completely new for them, but you're building on something that is already there. And I think that's why we're having success.
So with that, in the offseason, in your role as the general manager, I would assume point one for you and the number one bullet point is retention.
Correct.
That word of making sure that as long as they're eligible to play and they're playing here with Nebraska, you want to get those guys back because they know the culture.
Correct. That's exactly correct. And the culture that we've been able to build is because of the players that we have in our program. So we want to keep them here and make sure they keep staying here so that we can keep winning.
Can you take me through the process of Jamarcus Lawrence and his thought of coming back here to Nebraska? How does that go? Because it's unique. You don't see that every day. Every once in a while, especially now, you'll see a guy come back to where he originally was from, and you get the sense grass isn't always greener on the other side.
Yeah.
So for what was Jamarcus's process like to come back here to Lincoln?
Well, I think Jamarcus matured a lot since the moment he stepped on campus the first time. He was a young kid when he got to Nebraska the first time around with a lot of things to learn. He wasn't very vocal. Yeah, two good years for us. He was part of that team that made the NCAA tournament 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. He played some great games. Actually, I was thinking about it before we played at Indiana this past week, and I remember him scoring 5 threes at Indiana that year as well. And when he became available in the portal, it was a no-brainer for us to reach out right away because we know who Jamarcus is and what he does on the floor, but also the intangibles. Because Jamarcus is an amazing teammate and an amazing guy to have in your locker room. When he decided to leave, it was his decision to do so because he wanted to try something different. And in this world, there is nothing wrong with that. But for him to understand that the best thing for him was to come back, that takes a lot of maturity. And, of course, we're very happy to welcome him back because, again, he's a guy that played in our system, that knows how we do things. And it was a very easy transition for him to jump back into our system offensively and defensively.
And when you look at the roster and the makeup of it and a couple of guys that are just huge in terms of this team's success, whether it's Frager or Kel Jacobson, the local aspect of getting guys from Nebraska, I don't necessarily know if that's at the top of the list of most important, but getting somebody who understands Nebraska, who wants to be here, that's pretty important too, isn't it?
It is extremely important for us. That's why it's special to me to see Braden having so much success. And Braden was a priority for us when he was in high school. And a lot of credit goes to Coach Fred and Coach Nate because they made him a priority. And when he decided to, you know, come in early and reclass, I thought he made a fantastic decision for his basketball career. And now it's just, you know, you can see it because it takes a lot of Braden is a young kid. Mm-hmm. But Braden is very mature when it comes to making the right decisions for his basketball career, and it took a lot of him to just make the commitment of coming in and not playing year one, and he developed a lot. His body changed, his mentality changed, and he learned a lot that year, last year. And that's why he's not your usual freshman, because there is not a lot of freshmen in the country that can do what he's doing right now. But I think that full year where he was sitting out really helped him doing what he's doing for us this season.
You know, you think of the big plays that he made down the stretch, and he's made this entire season, but especially in the game against Indiana, I think of, you know, the offensive rebound, mm-hmm. reaching over and the stick back, and just some of the big plays he continues to make. And Kel Jacobson just plays his role. The more minutes he plays, it seems to, you know, when you look at that plus-minus statistic, yeah. Kale's always on that plus side of it. Those two guys, but Braden, did you expect that he would take this kind of jump here, being so young as he is?
We saw some flashes last year when he was sitting out. You know, mm-hmm. we had internal conversation about pulling that redshirt mid-year when we were mm-hmm. struggling a little bit. That's no secret, and we decided not to because it wasn't the best thing for Braden's career. And, you know, Coach Fred is always really high on that as a priority. But what he did in practice last year made us very comfortable that he would have a huge impact for us right away during his freshman campaign, yes.
So how did Nebraska come about for you? Let's talk about your journey a little bit. We were talking before we went live, but you spent some time at St. John's mm-hmm. in their basketball program, have the Italian background, and here you are in Lincoln, Nebraska, right from the big city to Lincoln, Nebraska. You've seen the passion here for college basketball,
yes.
especially this year, and there's a lot of sellouts down the road here for the games remaining at PBA. How did it come about for you to get here to Lincoln?
Well, it's a funny story because when I was at St. John's in the Big East, you know, you play Creighton in Omaha, mm-hmm. and I didn't know about Nebraska, to be honest, because coming born and raised in Italy, moved to New York, and it's all new for me. And I was always fascinated when we were traveling to Omaha to play, and I never thought in my life I'd be living in Nebraska. But then the opportunity presented itself when I was at the end of my run at St. John's to work for Coach Fred, and I didn't have to think twice because of the vision that he had for this program at the time, and we're seeing the results now. And it's been a pretty incredible ride for me. This is my seventh year, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity that Coach gave me at the beginning. And we're very excited where this program is going to go from here on out.
How different is your day-to-day, just living-wise, from, you know, Manhattan and playing at the Garden and things like that, and just the hustle and bustle of the city to living in Lincoln, Nebraska?
Well, definitely there's no traffic here, which is great.
I like it.
I love
Unless there's some construction or something, which seems is always the case here in Lake.
Yes. Yes, but not as bad as New York. But the biggest adjustment was that everything is so calm and relaxed and quiet. Like, I remember the first couple of nights that I was sleeping in Lincoln and I was living downtown at first, I wasn't able to sleep because it was too quiet. and it was like one of those, and my wife was saying the same thing. It's like there is no noises out the window, that it is completely quiet. It's incredible. But then you get used to it and you love it. And we fell in love with Lincoln and the community. It's such a special place. And we're so excited to be here. You know, we love it. We have a young son that is going to turn 3 soon. And there is no better place to raise a family than Lincoln, to be honest.
Sometimes quiet is a good thing. And this is a really, really good college town. It's not quiet on game days, football game days, basketball game days, but that's the good kind of noise that we like. The Nebraska Men's Basketball Coaches Show is sponsored by Union Bank and Trust, where people don't have your money has people. We continue on the Nebraska Basketball Show, chatting with the Husker General Manager for Men's Hoops, Luca Virgilio, and more of the show right after this. Contact 811 2 days before you dig to protect your underground utilities and yourself. It's free. It's easy. It's the law. Nebraska Basketball Show. Kyle Crooks back with you. Luca Virgilio is in studio, the general manager of Husker Men's Hoops, number 8 in the newest AP poll. I know Fred, and I brought this phrase up that Nick Saban always uses, but rat poison when it comes to just all these things that haven't been done in a long time and or ever in Husker basketball history. It seems like this team, they've embraced the expectations now, being the hunted as opposed to being the hunter. How do you feel like as a veteran team with everything that surrounds Nebraska now being a top 10 team, how they've dealt with everything?
Well, I think it's great for the community. It's great for the fans, you know, to see that number next to Nebraska men's basketball. I think this community and these fans deserve it. Our guys have been locked in on the mission from the beginning. And kudos to them because it's not easy. But they've been focused from the beginning on what's next. What's the next game? What's the next opponent? What's the next mission? And that's been great. You know, you need to keep the noise out, because if you just sit for a second and look around and you start listening to all the good things that they're saying about us, like you said, it's not going to be good for a locker room. But we're old, we're experienced, we have guys that have been through it before, and we know that we cannot relax one second, otherwise it's going to be a problem. So we're focused on Oregon tomorrow night, and then after Oregon, we're going to be focusing on the next game, and we're going to focus on that.
I think what's interesting too, Luca, about the commentary of Nebraska basketball, because nobody expected it, and the precedent, the history isn't necessarily there. When you guys are down 16 in the second half, everyone is quick to say, oh, I told you, Nebraska isn't what everyone thought Nebraska is. And then all of a sudden they win the game, and then everyone's just speechless once again. But everyone continues to wait for this team to fold under the pressure of what has been created out there. And the fans are along for the ride. How about the buzz inside PBA? Another sellout tomorrow against Oregon, which should be a really good opponent. You know how tough this league is. But how, you know, it's always been there, the interest and the passion for Nebraska basketball.
Yeah, I mean, our fans are amazing. And I was just talking with our ticket office this morning about what to expect for the last, I think we have 8 games left at home. Mm-hmm. 6 are sellouts. I think we got 150 tickets left for Washington and a little bit over 700 for Maryland at the end of February. And that's incredible. And we're going to need all our fans to complete the mission, because we got to protect home court. That's something that we talked about with our team a lot during the year. We got to win our home games to have a chance in this league, because you said it's really hard. Our league doesn't have easy games. And we did a good job so far, being 5-0, winning 3 games on the road. But protecting home court is extremely important. And PBA is incredibly loud. And it's always been, but I never seen anything like that, like the Michigan State game. When mm-hmm. the Michigan State player was about to shoot that free throw, I was like, there is no way he's going to make it. It's so loud. And I couldn't see anything because I'm short and I had 2 7-foot tall guys next to me. So yeah. I had to jump on the seat to see the free throw. I was like, there's no way this guy's going to make it. And he missed it, but it was incredibly loud. And it was loud the entire game.
Yeah.
That's the thing about, like, PBA Big Ten games. It's like the crowd is going to be amazing the entire game. And it's so hard to win on the road in the Big Ten. And if our crowd is going to do that every game, we're going to have a chance against anybody in the country at PBA.
I know there's some elite environments, Purdue, Michigan State come to mind within the league, but Illinois, I believe it was snowy that day, so maybe hurt some of the crowd. How was Assembly Hall, the environment there?
I think it was a little bit of a sleepy crowd.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, the parties. The night. How was the sleep in the hotel? Was it disrupted because of the parties on the streets?
Good, okay. But other people told me that it was pretty wild out there, and the noise was loud. But yeah, it was definitely a sleepy crowd, especially at the beginning of the first half. Then Indiana went on a little bit of a run at the end of the first half, and the arena was awake, but. I mean, there is so many great venues in the Big Ten, and the crowds are always going to play a role. Mm-hmm. I think it's hard to beat PBA, and this is not just me saying it. It's when you talk to other coaches in the league, they're always going to bring that up. It gets all out of PBA. Nobody wants to come and play in Lincoln. You know, it's hard to win, and that's because of what our guys are doing on the floor, but also because our fans are going to be there. Are going to be there early, are going to be there loud. They're not going to leave with 5 minutes on the clock. They're going to be there until the end, and that's going to really help us.
Your job is to evaluate talent, and when you evaluate a guy like Sam Hojbjerg, the tangibles don't pop off the page, right? It's, you know, size and what you'd expect maybe out of a Big Ten guard. But he plays more than big enough and strong enough. When you watch him play and how he defies maybe the frame and what you'd expect somebody of that size to play at the Big Ten and the way that he actually plays. What's your evaluation of a player like Sam Hojbjerg?
Well, you cannot measure heart. You know what I'm saying? And he's our champion. He's the guy that is always going to show up, that is going to be there every day, is going to bring everybody together in the locker room, is going to make sure that every practice goes the way it's supposed to be, is going to bring intensity, is going to bring energy. And on game days, he's just phenomenal. We know we played so many good guards, and we don't have to worry about it necessarily from a matchup standpoint because we have Sam. Mm-hmm. And Sam is going to be relentless on the ball, is going to be alert off ball, is going to be able to help his teammates if they're not in position. And offensively, he's been phenomenal this year. His assist-to-turnover ratio, I think, is first, second, or third in the country. Mm-hmm. I didn't check this morning. It was second, I think, yesterday. And if you think about it, that's incredible. Because the way he's running our offense, you don't even see him out there because you look at the numbers and the stats and you might not notice like the points or anything else, but he's there. And he rebounds the ball. He had a couple of games in the Big Ten where he got 8 or 9 rebounds of 5-11. Mm-hmm. And you don't do that if you're not special. He's special and he's the engine that makes everything work with Rink on our team.
You know what's interesting, too, is you have a group of guys that are willing to play a role. A Jared Garcia off the bench that comes in and, you know, he always seems to make an impact play off the bench. And I could think of a Kale Jacobson, a Bear K. When they come in, they make impact plays and they're maybe not sitting complaining about their role. Is that a difference maker for this team in the transactional way in which rosters come about now? Everyone wants to be the star. Everyone wants to be the biggest part of any team. But this group doesn't seem like it's ultra transactional. These guys know their role.
Yes, and I think that comes from the honest conversations that we had with them in the offseason, being fully transparent with each one of them on what their role is going to be. Of course, things can change during the year, mm-hmm. but I think we made an effort in being pretty transparent with them on what the expectations were for each one of them, and I think that really helped. You know, you mentioned three guys. I mean, Jared game at Illinois was incredible. Without Jared, we don't win that game. I think he scored 10 points in the second half. There's two games that come to mind when you think about Kale, the game against Oklahoma at the Pentagon. It was incredible. And even against Indiana this past game, he had 5 points in the first half, but the poise he played with and the ability to move defensively was incredible. And Berke improved so much in the offseason. He really worked on his body, and now he's everywhere defensively. And he's been making shots. I think he's shooting 50% from three in the last mm-hmm. 6 games. And a lot of the plays that these guys make don't end up on the box score. Like if you think about this past game against Indiana, Berke has a block and a deflection, and then he keeps the ball on the floor, and Jamarcus makes a three to tie the game on the other end. And they didn't give him a block, but we saw that, and the opponent saw that, and that changed the game.
Mm-hmm. You know, the dynamic between the coaching staff, specifically Fred and Nate, and what Nate's done defensively, you guys have been a plus-plus defensive team. When you see what Nate's done on that side of the ball, and you're on the bench and you see the interactions, what's maybe a Nate Lenzer's importance to a team and the run that you guys have been on?
Well, Nate is a basketball genius in my mind. You know, he has been working on this defense since the moment he got on campus. And it's not an easy system to install. You need to have the right players. You need to have the right personnel to do it. And I think this year everything has been clicking at a really high level. And Nate is relentless. And he does it because he wants to see the players successful. And he's not going to give you a pass or a day off because we won 15, 16 games in a row. Today we had a practice. It was a really hard practice. And he was yelling at everybody left and right to make sure that they were on point. Every film session after the win, we're not going to skip the clips where you made a mistake. No, we want to correct those mistakes to make sure we don't make them again because we're striving for perfection. And a lot of that is because of who Nate is and the intensity and passion that he brings every day to practice. We wouldn't be where we are today if it wasn't for the contribution that he's had on our program.
What are the in-game huddles like? Maybe take me second half against Indiana, down 16 in that huddle. What is it like? Is it calm, poised? I assume it is with Fred, just seeing his demeanor.
Yeah. I mean, and a lot of credit to our guys. We didn't lose any focus or composure during that stretch because Indiana was hitting some tough shots, especially early in the second half. But we always go back to our principles. And if we stick to those principles, at some point the game is going to turn. Our defense didn't overreact because they made a couple of tough shots. We kept doing what we were doing, and during our huddles, that's what we were stressing. We need to keep doing what we're doing defensively. At some point, we're going to get some steals because they're going to get tired, and that's what happened. And offensively, we got to have a little more flow and a little more power. Keep moving the ball and find the open guy. And that's why I think our team offensively is special and really good, is because it's never the same guy every game. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be a different guy. One time it's going to be Rink, one time it's going to be Price, one time it's going to be Jamarcus, one time it's going to be Sam, one time it's going to be Jared, Berke. It doesn't matter, but our offense is going to find the guy that is hot and is going to find the guy that is having a good game. And that's what we did against Indiana. It was Jamarcus's turn, but everything was fueled by our defense getting stops and running in transition.
Yeah, just chipping away down the stretch, and it's all lending itself to a 16-0 start, 5-0 here in the Big Ten. Just incredible start. Oregon is at PBA tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit more about that. I want to dive into more about Luka's role because, as you know, transfer portal is a huge part of college sports, and that is the man that has a lot of those conversations for Huskers men's basketball. So Luka Virgilio is our guest for another segment. We'll also have Charlie Hoiberg, who's a graduate manager for the team, and with Jessica Cootey, they sat down for a conversation. So that'll be the final segment of the show. Still more to do. Stick with us. The Huskers Radio Network Broadcast Center is sponsored by Acres, the Midwest premier John Deere dealer, supplying the equipment and service to advance agriculture and much more. Acres solutions for every field. Back here on the Nebraska Basketball Show with Luka Virgilio, the general manager of Husker Men's Hoops. I'm Kyle Crooks, and we're happy that you can join us tonight talking about a 16-0 Husker basketball team. But you know, I mentioned you're the GM, and a lot of people want to know how the sausage is made, and it can get pretty crazy nowadays. If you've been following the football transfer portal over these last few weeks, you understand how crazy it is. And in men's basketball, I assume it's more of the same. This is a 24/7, 365 evaluating talent, continuing to get ahead on future rosters. Take people into just how hectic your job is on a day-to-day basis, Luka.
It is. It's a lot of watching games, watching film, making sure you know exactly what's going on in our business, and is changing so fast and so much so quickly. You know, with the NIL and ref share, everything, it changed so much in the last 2 or 3 years. But to me, it's a great challenge. I love it. I mean, it's very hectic, but that's why I like it. And we have a great staff, and we work really well together in sharing the vision of what our roster is looking like right now, what it's going to have to look like next year again to be competitive. And, you know, again, I see myself as somebody that is putting together a puzzle and making sure that all the pieces are fitting well together. It's not just about, you know, basketball numbers. It's also about character. It's also about who you are as a person. Because, again, we talked about our culture, and that's extremely important to us and to Coach Fred. And, you know, you need to make sure you're finding the right guys that are going to work well on the floor because they fit what we're trying to do from a basketball standpoint, but they also have to fit off the floor to make sure from a character standpoint they are players that we want to represent the University of Nebraska and Coach Hoiberg.
So I would imagine on-campus visits are massive when it comes to judging somebody's character and bringing them into the program, right?
Correct, yes. That's definitely a big piece. We always try to get them on campus with their families to know them better and spend some quality time. But what's important, too, is getting the intel that you need to evaluate, because sometimes, especially when the portal opens, you might not have enough time to do visits.
Sure.
In this day and age, you know, you're going to have to make quick decisions. And this is the time of the year where you collect all the intel that you can possibly collect, because then when the portal is going to open, you might not have time to do visits. So you might just have to get on a plane and visit with one player one-on-one, and then you're going to have to make a decision. So having the intel, it's extremely important for you to make that decision and make the right one.
So part of your everyday is watching, evaluating players, and you have a staff that helps you. Take me through the process. So you evaluate a player and then bring it up to the staff and to Fred, and then you get the yay or nay from there as to moving forward on player A?
Correct. Yeah, it's a lot of watching film for sure. It's a lot of talking with people in the business, you know, with your network, because that's what is going to make a difference, you know. It's a global game. So there might be another Casey Tominaga somewhere in the world that nobody knows about, and you want to be the one that gets there first. And, you know, you always want to have another set of eyes watching film, because they might see something that you haven't seen yet or that you didn't notice. And that's why we have a great staff, and we work very well together on sharing ideas and sharing a vision that at the end of the day is going to be Coach Hoiberg's vision. So our job is to find players that are going to fit that vision. And I've been lucky enough to work for him for 7 years, and I learned exactly what type of players he likes from a basketball standpoint, but also, again, from a character standpoint. And I can tell you very easily if a player is going to be successful or not here based on my previous experience working for him, and especially seeing players that have been successful or not in our program.
Is it tough for it not to be transactional at times, because you understand that, you know, some guys might not play at that next level and they want to be able to make as much as they can here in college with NIL deals. And we know how the world of college is now, but how do you try to make sure that in the end it's not that transactional, even though it's kind of baked in the DNA of what we're doing?
Well, yeah, I mean, the business changed, so you kind of have to adjust to that a little bit. But you also, I think, it's a very thin line when you want to balance basketball and character, and making sure that if those two things are the way we want it to be, we can live with that. Mm-hmm. So yes, it is transactional, but it's part of the game. So you're just going to have to maximize that piece into the whole equation.
How much are you looking internationally? Like you said, it's a gold mine.
Yeah, it is. We're not necessarily looking at that more than other, you know, other places. We're looking at transfers whenever the portal is going to open. We're looking at high school kids. We're looking at junior college kids. We're looking at internationals, that is pros now that can play in college if they're cleared by the NCAA. So the market is gigantic, and you just gotta have to be ready for whatever presents itself and go get the opportunity. So that's where the research behind it is extremely important, because you gotta know what you need and you gotta know exactly what you want, because that's what is gonna make the difference when you have five different options. Say you have one day to make a decision out of five options, and you want to make the right one. And just the information that you have available is going to make the difference between a good decision and a bad decision.
Yeah, it's clear you guys value high school recruiting. Nowadays, that's not necessarily the case. I mean, guys can survive out of the portal. How do you view high school recruiting and where it's at now? Maybe not necessarily here with the Huskers, but as a whole, and the importance to high school recruiting for college basketball?
Well, I think you need to find the right ones. You need to find guys that are understanding of how much the business change and how much the culture in college basketball change, because it's really hard to come in as a high school kid and play right away. But if you find the right one that are willing to commit themselves to a process, which could last a month, could last 6 months, could last a year, could last 2 years, as long as there is a transparent conversation of what the vision is for that specific player, I think there is a lot of value in high school recruiting, because that's going to help you build the backbone of your program. And, you know, once again, Braden Frager is a great example, you know. Him coming in and us having a transparent conversation of what the process is going to look like for him, and him understanding that and buying into that, that is also what we see today. But that process started 2 years ago. Everybody's seeing the results today, but that process didn't start yesterday. It started 2 years ago, and that's extremely important.
What's that perfect player from a basketball standpoint and Coach Hoiberg's system? What does that look like for you?
Basketball IQ plays a big role just because our system offensively and defensively requires you to have a high basketball IQ to make quick decisions. You have to be tough to play in the Big Ten. Toughness is extremely important. You have to be tough. You have to have basketball IQ. And, you know, if you can shoot the ball, you're going to be successful here. Yeah. So we try to pull guys out there that can shoot the ball because that's going to open up our offense. But at the same time, the basketball IQ goes offensively and defensively because, you know, you look at a roster, we might not be the most athletic team, but our defense looks pretty good because of our guys understanding exactly where to be and when to be in those spots during a game.
Looking ahead now, Oregon coming up tomorrow should be a really good crowd. Got a chance to watch some of their game against Rutgers. We see how tough the Big Ten is. Wisconsin knocked off Michigan on the road. When you see some of those results, probably not all that surprising, but Oregon comes to town, it's probably going to be a really tough test, isn't it?
It's going to be. Oregon is one of the most talented teams in our league. They're very big. They play three bigs together, and that's what they've been doing the last couple of games. You know, they start Evans at the three, 6'10", Stewart 6'9", and then Beadle at 7'1". So that's going to be a big challenge for us. We're going to have to be physical. We're going to have to execute defensively and offensively. Every game is going to be a massive challenge for us. We cannot enjoy the moment because there is another challenge waiting for us, and Oregon is going to be a big one for us tomorrow night.
You know, we started the conversation talking about the pizza that you had coming back from Bloomington. What's the best slice that you've had here in Lincoln?
Oof, that's a good question. That's a good one. Well, I would say Lazari's.
Okay, I'm getting Camden shaking his head back there saying yes,
yes,
good choice.
But the one downtown, I don't think it's open anymore. And then I would say Yaya's is good, yes. Okay. Yaya's is good. And some of our players, too, would agree that Yaya's is probably top one or two in Lincoln for pizza.
So, yeah, that's
my vote. Yeah, that's my vote, yeah.
Okay, I like that. And I was watching last night the video you did with Virginia Adriano of the volleyball team, just having that little Italian chat. How was that?
That was great. She's the best.
Yeah.
We were actually just getting lunch together at a training table. She just came back from Italy, and we're just talking about how great it was for her to be back home, and she's extremely excited for this volleyball season to start. It's just great to have Italians around here in Lincoln, and you know, we've been watching with my family Virginia's games every game, and it's amazing. She's the best.
Basketball can bring you places, and
yes,
for you, from Italy to New York, from Queens, New York to Lincoln, Nebraska, you've been all over the place. Luca Virgilio, general manager of Husker Men's Hoops, we appreciate the time and continued success with what you guys have going.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great stuff from Luca. We continue on the Nebraska Basketball Show. Charlie Hoiberg sits down with Jessica Cootie. That's next. Final segment of the Nebraska Basketball Show. Happy that you can join us. Appreciate Luca Virgilio, GM of Husker Men's Hoops, for joining us for the first three segments. Have a special chat with Charlie Hoiberg coming up, graduate manager. Of course, his twin brother Sam having an incredible year. His dad Fred Hoiberg is up for possibly National Coach of the Year when it's all said and done. Big game coming up tomorrow night against Oregon, 7 p.m. Central start to our pregame. Just looking at some of the numbers for the Ducks. Yeah, they have a lot of talent. They've had some issues with turning the ball over this year. Their turnover margins near the bottom in the Big Ten. In terms of scoring offense, they're only about 15th. In the Big Ten, but don't let that fool you. This is a team that is incredibly talented and will play in PBA in front of a sold-out crowd coming up. But coming up here on the show, we have a chance to chat with Charlie Hoiberg. Jessica Cootie had a chance to chat with him.
All right, here with Charlie Hoiberg. Well, how has this year been for you? How much fun are you having?
It's been great. I mean, it's just been really fun to be back home in Lincoln, first off, just being with my family, especially being around my brother and my dad every day, but getting to see my mom all the time too has been really fun. And on top of that, we've obviously had a good start to the year. So, yeah, it's been great being home.
Can you confirm or deny you're the reason why this team is unbeaten this year? You joined the staff and they haven't lost.
Well, the record says that we're undefeated, but I'm not going to take any of the credit for it. It's been a really good year of learning for me. Mm-hmm. I get to learn from some of the best in the country, whether it's my dad, Coach Nate, the other assistants, but also the guys in the video room like Michael Banya, Peyton Borders, Justin Moore, and everyone on the staff. So I'm not going to take any credit for it, but it's been fun to be a part of this so far.
Take us into your decision to want to be involved in as a graduate assistant and why you wanted to make that move now going into this year.
A big reason why I wanted to get into it was because a couple years ago with that Sam Griesel, Derek Walker team, mm-hmm. We really started turning this ship around here. When I went to school at TCU, I never really thought I wanted to get into coaching. But then things started going better. I was like, okay, maybe I do think this is something I might want to do, which might not be the best way to look at it because there are highs and lows and everything, but especially coaching. But then I realized I kind of wanted to get into it. And then I was a manager at TCU, and I just wanted to see like if I liked being around it every day, if I had that love for it and thought it was something I wanted to pursue. And ultimately it was. And so far it's been a great decision. I've been loving it.
Grew up a coach's kid. What have you learned about, I mean, you talked about all the different guys that you've been able to learn for on the staff. What have you learned being, I guess, on the other side of it, other than just growing up with it and then playing it?
Well, for one, it's a lot more complicated than a lot of people would think. Mm-hmm. When you're a fan on the sideline, you see some things. Even if you played growing up, you see some things. But there's so much that goes into it. And not playing in college, I was behind a little bit on that, I would say, especially compared to other people who did play who are into coaching now. But you pick up on things quick. I think being a coach's kid, I had some of that basketball IQ when I played in high school and growing up, and being able to translate that into now learning everything on the X's and O's side even more in depth has been something that I feel like I've been able to do pretty well and hopefully will apply in my future endeavors as coaching.
Some of the plays that your dad draws up, did you realize how good he was at it growing up, or have you even found a new, even bigger appreciation for some of the things he's able to cook up?
Well, I think I always knew because that's what people said, like, oh, he's one of the best offensive minds in the world. So I always knew it, and you could see it by results, but I never, like, knew what was going on behind the scenes and what they were exactly. But, yeah, 100% being a part of it, knowing everything that how he thinks, like the little wrinkles that he has and all that, it's pretty unbelievable to see, and it's something that I've learned and started to pick up on myself. But, yeah, he definitely is an offensive genius, and seeing the plays that he runs is pretty impressive.
How about Sam's growth? What have you seen in him from, you know, just growing up playing with him to the kind of impact he's able to have now here in this season?
Well, Sam's always been a great player, obviously. Very smart, plays hard his whole life. Growing up, he was always a lead scorer guy. And then when he came to Nebraska, we didn't know, when he walked on, if he was going to ever carve out a role. Mm-hmm. Eventually, he got that opportunity, being the glue guy, which he still is today, but playing gritty defense and making all the hustle plays, which is something that he always did, but he also had that edge to him as a scorer and passer and creator, and he always just had that in him. And then this year, I think one of the things I've really tried to do is make him believe that again, is like, listen, you've always been a scorer, you've always been a great shooter, mm-hmm. Know that on top of all the hustle and defense that you do, which is your MO, which you're gonna make your money doing, but on top of that, you can score and create for others, and he's done an unbelievable job at it this year.
You just were here. He was the last person to leave the floor. You were rebounding for him. How's that, being in that role where you're kind of helping him continue to prepare and get better every day?
It's been great. I mean, one thing with Sam is he can get in his head a little bit, especially with his jump shot. And just keeping him confident is huge. And I think I know his brain better than anybody just because I've been with him my entire life, obviously. But just helping him stay confident. And he's going to get in here and be in the gym. It's not, I don't have to help him with that, but keeping his mental side right of it is something that I like to help do, and I feel like I have helped so far this year.
Besides just that and the role that you've helped with Sam, what did you hope to bring to what your role is here within the staff?
Yeah, well, I feel like as a GA, you can kind of find your niche a little bit, but first off, just bringing a hardworking edge. Like a lot of people, if you come in, the way you're not going to be a good GA is if you're not working at it. You got to be in here putting in time and actually like working at it when you're in the office. But I knew I was going to be able to help Sam. That was one thing I wanted to do. But mostly just working hard, and we're here to aid the coaches. Like, we're not going to be the difference. Like, I'm not the reason we're undefeated, but, like, I'm learning on top of helping aid these coaches in whatever they need. And if I find things that can help them, I will do that. But mainly whatever they need, we're there for them and to make their lives easier.
All right, so Price told us a story last week about at camp. You got traded onto his team. He was crying because his brother got traded away. What is your perspective of that story?
So what it was it was me, Peyton, and Price were on the same team. And obviously those two guys were unbelievable players, but I was pretty good back in the day, I like to think at least. So our team was way too stacked for the camp, and we're killing everyone we play. And when they do that, you trade away your best player. Peyton's the best player on the team, so they traded Peyton away to make the teams a little bit more fair. And Price's reaction was crying, which understandable. I cried a lot in those camps too, but they traded him away. And then they brought him back because Price was crying, moved me to a bad team, and then I was on the terrible team. But I remember
that's
it was,
how it works.
Yes, I moved to the bad team. They brought Peyton back, and they probably won the championship. I don't remember. But
that's not really fair.
That's what I thought at the time too.
That's hilarious. Okay, I also want to give you a chance to defend yourself too, because Sam's obviously pretty competitive. He likes to claim that he's the best golfer in the family, but your dad says otherwise. What is your take on that?
Yeah, he's incorrect on that. Statistically incorrect. He plays a lot more than I do, so he might be better right now, but if I'm putting the time and the effort, I'm going to be better than him. I was always more consistent, and you can ask my dad about that one.
Awesome. Well, great stuff. Thanks for your time. It's great chatting with you, and best of luck to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good stuff with Jess and Charlie. Again, big game coming up tomorrow night as Oregon is here at PBA. 7 p.m. Central start to our pregame. Kent Pavelka and Coach Jeff Smith, the number 8 ranked Huskers. That is tied for the best AP rank in program history. This dream season continues to roll along. And you know, we had a chance to talk with Luca for the first 3 segments of the show, and a lot of it is built on the backs of guys like Charlie Hoiberg on that bench and Luca Virgilio, and of course the leadership of Fred Hoiberg and what he's continued to build in terms of the chemistry and the connective tissue for this team. 16-point second half comeback on the road against Indiana. Not many times a Nebraska basketball team can say that, and just a dream season continues. So pregame tomorrow, 7 p.m. Central with Oregon here in town. Appreciate Luca, appreciate Josh and Camden for their help. I'm Kyle Crooks as we say so long on the Nebraska Basketball Show.